Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I flashed a 70-year-old woman.
Showtime! Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the show link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome. To episode 874 of the Linux Links Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Hi.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello.
Yeah. And so, just an update. Last week, I had gotten this HP
Stream.
And installed OpenSUSE on it. Yeah, last week had a hell of a time with the bootloader until I went into the BIOS and enabled legacy mode, which gets rid of the UEFI stuff, and boom, I was in like for that. That was sweet, but I wiped it out again. So the Tumbleweed network installation has a rescue mode on it, which I was using to get back into the system. I could boot the system up with that too, but there's other things I would need to do for the UEFI, and for this system, I really don't see the advantage. I haven't yet seen the advantage of secure boot. Have you guys had any experience or said, hey, I'm sold on secure boot with UEFI in Linux?
No.
And I don't want...
In Linux, no. Windows, possibly. But that's about it.
Yeah, because I'm like, you know, forget it. I don't really need it. And this thing, let's just see where it goes. I'm not going to invest the time doing it. So I went and redid the installation because this is an SSD drive and OpenSUSE Tumbleweed by default partitions using ButterFS, and that could be a little harsh on an SSD drive. So and again, I don't know, you know, some people are like it's gonna wear out the drive faster, other people are like maybe not, but ButterFS, because of all the snapshots it saves and the fact that this is only a 25 gigabyte SSD drive in here, so you know,
that's tiny.
About having snapshots, yeah, it's pretty damn small. So I just went with ext4. People recommend right. XFS.
Also, what type of SSD is it?
I don't know.
He may not know.
It's probably like a flash.
It's either SLC or MLC. Depends. Single level or multi level. You might be able to off the drive, like if
probably
you drive
an SD
drive
card,
metal number, yeah,
welded into or soldered into place.
Stream
given
what? Stream 7 or 11? I mean, stream 11.
No, I... hold on.
Wait, it was a Chromebook, so
no, it's not stream. A Chromebook. Can I see your glasses?
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah,
it's not.
Model,
never mind.
It's a 13. It's a stream PC 13.
PCIe so, mini SSD.
There you go. Which only tells you that it's an SSD. It doesn't tell you what kind of an SSD.
I will look in at Yast for the hardware information to see if it gives me any information. I'm thinking this thing, it was kind of the cheaper, low-end model. So, and it's older, and I'm not overly concerned about snapshots and stuff like that.
Right, I wouldn't be.
So I did the Tumbleweed network install of the XFCE desktop and the packages that were in there. And it took about an hour to install everything. Once I ran through the setup, stuff dropped down over my Wi-Fi network. I just let it run, rebooted, and it was up and running. It runs like a champ.
I did a search for HP Stream 13 and Linux, and I came across a Reddit article that says it's a 32 gigabyte eMMC drive with a write speed of 158 megabit per second and a read speed of 65 megabit per second. It's actually got a slower read speed than it does a write speed.
Yeah, I'm not getting too much off of it other than...
Yeah, I'm looking through this tutorial, and they're talking about replacing the Wi-Fi card with a PCIe SSD.
Now, the big problem I had with this was that there was no battery. Like, the battery was dead.
Yeah. And,
I mean, it didn't even register that the battery was even there. Kind of like... piqued my curiosity, given that this isn't that old, but it's always possible that the battery's dead. And then when I went online looking at, you know, a replacement and trying to match up the model number with an exact plate replacement, and there's like a bunch of these different models, and it's not like a one-to-one relationship, it seems, or I wasn't 100% sure. And looking at the pictures of the batteries, there's like two or three different kinds. So I'm like, I got nothing to lose. I got to figure it out anyway. If I get a replacement battery, I pop the case open, and lo and behold, come to find out, the connector for the battery wasn't pushed all the way into the motherboard. So now there was a screw missing underneath. So I'm inclined to think that somebody opened this case up. I don't think it was me. Maybe my daughter did. I don't know why she would. Mucked around with something and didn't plug the battery all the way in. Once I plugged the battery all the way in, fired it up, battery works perfectly. So I didn't have to shell out any money to replace the battery.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, and SUSE is working beautiful. I was impressed with how fast SUSE is running on this. Very impressed. I haven't used SUSE in years. Back when we were talking with Peter 64, I think the last time I played around with SUSE was I installed it on Paige's laptop before. This was like 2 or 3 years before she graduated even. She was running with SUSE for a long time, OpenSUSE. And so SUSE was one of the distributions I started with. That was the first distribution that I got that worked out of the box with the NVIDIA card that I had and didn't have to go through a whole lot of voodoo to get it configured properly. And SUSE used to come, like, you go into the bookstore and there would be a box set of SUSE and it would have 5 CDs and a huge manual that was like a really good manual. And, you know, so I've always been impressed with SUSE, even though I haven't run it for years. But
mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
I always I'm thought using it was right bloated. Now. Sorry, yeah, I always thought it was bloated, but
yeah, I mean, it has the potential to be bloated, but if you do a customized install, like the Tumbleweed install, you had a couple of different options. There was, like, you know, full on GNOME or KDE Plasma desktop or XFCE or just a completely minimal system or a server system. When I straddled it, I went the middle ground with XFCE, and it's been wonderful.
Now, if I can just find something to run on my Hybrix other than the Remix OS version 2 that's on it. I found everything I needed for it and charged it back up over the weekend while I was packing the office and taking stuff over to the storage unit. and found it, plugged it in, booted it back up, updated all the apps on it from the Play Store. And that's about all I can do with it. I mean, it still runs fine. Like, I have to try and see if like Netflix and stuff will still run on it. But I mean, it's. I'm just sad that they didn't do more with Jide, and it's just really the same thing as with those Pine books. You know, as much as I like the idea of running an ARM-based laptop, I'm just not seeing it, and I'm not really thinking about spending money on it either, if you know what I mean.
Well, I spent some money this week.
What'd you get?
A Ring Video doorbell and a Ring floodlight, which arrived today, but it's been raining, so I haven't had a chance to go out there and hook it up.
Bummer.
Yeah. But the doorbell can also be battery powered, so I at least got that set up and ready to go so that I can take it out and hook it up.
I recommend charging it before you install it, because it will charge off the doorbell circuit, but it takes a long time.
Yeah. My neighbor, day before yesterday, or when was it? A couple days ago. Three days ago, my neighbor got their car stolen, and we had our car rummaged through. But, so, yeah, and, you know, this isn't the first time, if anybody remembers, that I had to chase me some tire slashers. I think it was last year. But, yep. So, yeah, it's been an issue, and I would roll my own camera, but I don't think the authorities would accept the video footage from that type of setup.
They might, but then again, you get some benefits to the Ring service. I'll probably end up, when we move, I'll probably end up canceling it, but I might just leave the Ring doorbell installed, just because I don't know if I can be arsed to pull it off and swap it. Because obviously you can't put that on the apartment. I can probably get like a camera that sit inside the house.
Well, you could put it on the apartment as long as you use it battery powered.
Right. Right.
Just two screws.
Yeah, I don't even think they have doorbells on the apartments, which I'd be totally fine with. But the new house has a Z-Wave based device it comes with. It's pre-installed. Along with the, I'm trying to remember the name of the lock company, but it's got it is a smart lock that comes with the house, and I think it's going to be installed on the front door, I think. I might talk to them when it comes time to do the electronic or the electrical stuff and ask them, can I put that on the garage door? You know, like on the door from the garage, and because I don't like the idea of an internet connected lock being externally accessible, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And I probably can turn off the smart lock features if I really wanted to. Although I would probably keep the combo lock because at least then I don't have, like, if I forgot my key or something, I just punch the code in and get in the door, you know. But we'll see. And then like the thermostat's a Z-Wave compatible device. There's a Qlosis pad that's installed by the front. I think it'll be installed by the front door, but I'm not sure if I have to actually have it mounted on the wall, because I also seen that same pad also available that you can just have it sit on like an end table or something. I almost kind of want that instead, but it's supposed to be like a centralized control thing where you can control it from both the internet as well as that device, and that will let you see, like, from the opposite side, like our front door won't have a peephole because it's got that camera in it. So
yeah, last week it was $500 for a water heater, and this week it's $500 for a ring because I got the doorbell and I got the floodlight, and I'll be getting the 1 year service.
Yep.
So,
well, yeah, that's going to be about $1,600 to $1,800 for the repairs this week. I think he's coming tomorrow, but I got time. Not a lot of time, but I got time. So the close on the home is the 16th. We're signing the lease on the apartment on the 3rd. So in fact, I need to call over to our the person at the builder and say, hey, the October payment, we're supposed to pay like we paid some in August, and then we're supposed to pay the rest of the startup, like the rest of the, like, I think like $5,000 of the build start process money. I need to put that good faith money up. Then I'm going to call her and say, hey, can I wait until we complete the close like a day or two later than we're supposed to? Because we're closing on the 16th. I think that $5,000 is supposed to be due on the 15th. But basically the 16th or the 17th, I can walk over and give them that check. Plus I could even give them our $40,000 down at that point that we're going to put down on the house. That way all the money stuff is taken care of and I just have to concentrate on the build process until closing time. But I don't know if you actually want that money then, but we'll find out, I guess. I'm going to call her tomorrow if I can. Today was just one of those days where, like, I'm halfway, not quite halfway through my day, and I was talking to one of the cams. He's like, oh, do you know that we have a clone today? I'm like, no. So that's what I did all afternoon, is got that non-production clone done for them. So, but so we're going to go see. Our house here is 1,400 square feet. The apartment is about 1,200, so it's not that much smaller. And the new home will be over 2,000 square feet. And I'm looking forward to that. Space. And then they have like nature trails and stuff like that. Biking paths. It's all over by the new house. My house is going to be blue. Marine blue, to be exact. That's the color they call it. It's actually dark blue siding. So that'll be fun.
How big's the yard?
It's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. It's probably, it's bigger than what we have here. Just because the house is bigger, but...
Will they be planting trees? Do you have a fence? You putting a pool in?
I can't put a pool in. I can't put a fence in because... Or a pool, because the HOA does all the mowing and all the landscaping. I don't have to do any of that. It's just a bill I have to pay. That's all it is.
They start at one end of the block and just run all the way down through all the yards.
Yeah, pretty much.
How much is it?
Oh, I forgot. I'd have to go back and look at the papers. I want to say it's about $200 a month, which isn't too awful. Because they also will do sidewalks and stuff. They shovel the sidewalks. I think the only thing I actually have to shovel are like my walks, like for example, the walk out to the driveway and maybe the driveway itself. So but like the sidewalks throughout the entire neighborhood, that's all taken care of as well. As well as the landscaping and the upkeep on the trails, that's all part of it. Most exciting thing I'm looking forward to is this time next summer or fall, sitting out in the screen room enjoying the outside without getting ate up by bugs. Sit out there in the morning drinking my coffee.
You'd have a garden, right?
Have a what?
A garden.
I don't have a garden.
No, you can't. Can you have a garden? Can you plant a garden?
I don't think we could. I mean, I think we can do like a container thing, but I don't think you could plant one in the backyard, no.
Come on, Dan. That'll bring the home values down.
That's too much work, man. I don't want to do that anyway.
You should raise chickens and goats.
No, that's against the HOA. Yeah, probably
that's
having
not just
a garden
against the HOA. That's probably against the city ordinance, too.
No, city ordinance rarely has anything to say about the raising
of
animals.
Incorporated, man. Fuck that shit.
As long as you know you're not contaminating the water supply, they really don't care. But they do care, for some reason, if you have a garden, like cities and counties care if you have a garden. Evidently, you're not supposed to grow your own food that you can eat.
You're poisoning the water.
I don't even want to take care of the freaking grass in my own yard, let alone a garden. I'd rather let them take care of that, you know.
They'll mow his gardens for him, is what he's saying.
Besides the stuff that I'd like to do garden wise, I pretty much can't do in Ohio. Just get
the weed?
No. Oh. That's easy, dude. That's just a actually, there's dispensaries. I don't even have to do that. Just go there if I really wanted it. But,
do you?
No. No need for that.
In Ohio, right?
Heck, I can go to the gas station and get anything with CDB in it already. Without a medical thing.
Technically, the CBD is available in Texas.
So
they claim. Right. Cures everything.
So the doorbell is a Skybell, which I had never heard of until I started building in this house. The switch is a Eaton Z. They include one smart switch in the whole freaking house. I'm like, boy, that's going to help. An Eaton Z Wave switch for that. Quick set smart code 888 deadbolt. The app that controls the Qlosys panel is alarm.com. And thermostats is Honeywell T6 Pro Z Wave. And they throw in an Echo Dot.
That's not included in your HOA cost, is it? Is it?
No, those are all... I would assume if there's any services in that, it would probably be separate. It'd be reasonable, too. I mean, it's like an alarm system in the house, you know. So... But... We'll see how all that works.
Now, are you required to keep the alarm system active?
I don't think so, but...
Oh, I was...
And I don't even know if there's a charge for that, other than just the fact that they have the panel in the house, and it's designed to interact with every... Like, for example, from that panel by the front door, I can actually... adjust the thermostat. Actually, from the app, I can adjust the thermostat too. So, yeah, I don't know what the cost would be. I'm betting it's probably just a once a month kind of thing, kind of similar to what I pay for a Ring.
$10 a month.
I'm betting it's probably that, but we'll see.
And Ring has active monitoring, so.
Yep. They do. So I know the one thing I do know for sure is unlike here where we have the mailboxes out by the curb, we don't have that in the new place. It's done up more like an apartment or condominium setup is, where they have a centralized post, like a US mail box for your, you know, for your USPS mail. So I assume they'll probably do, like, your letters and stuff would just go in the box like normal. And then if you get a package, there'd be a key in your mailbox that you would put into the package thing to get your package. At least if it came via U.S. mail. Now, if it came via Amazon, I assume they'll continue to do what they've always done and just put it on my porch.
You having a problem out there with porch pirates?
I don't know about the new place. Rarely had a problem here. Once, like back when they had the Black Friday deal on the Echo Dots, back in the second generation. That's the only generation I have of the Echo right now, except for the Echo Show, which is sitting right next to me. It's either, I'm trying to think if it was that or if it was the Google. One of the ones, basically, it was a Black Friday deal. And I think it was either the Echo Dot or the Google Home. I can't remember which one right now. But what I ended up doing, the tracking showed that it was delivered and it never ended up on my porch. So I contacted I was pretty sure it was an Echo Dot, because I didn't know. I contacted Amazon and he said, "Oh, it should have been there by now. So we'll send you another one." Oh, I'm like, okay. So they sent me another one. So the second one they sent me came right away, and it came within a couple of days. But like the day after I got the second one, the first one came. So I got both. Nope. They rarely do when stuff like that happens. So I thought somebody pilfered it off the porch, but it had to have been the Echo Dot too, because if I remember right, most of the Amazon devices come pre-programmed, and I was kind of freaking out a little bit, you know?
Well, yeah, they come tied to your, they can come tied to your account.
Yeah, it just depends. Like, I know that, like, Kindle Fires would, and then Kindles would, too. But that's really the only kind of problem I've ever had. That and randomly, like, one time, and I'm trying to remember what it was, whether it was, like, met, like, a prescription or something else. No, I remember what it was. Last Christmas, we did a gift exchange with the Gear Diary folks. And we usually just share our Amazon wish list, and then we pick something off the wish list that fits the price of the exchange. So the guy bought me the Wetton Smart Power Strip, which I absolutely love. It's a great, great device. I got it in my bedroom, and the neat thing is every outlet in the strip is individually controllable, as are the USB ports. There's four USB ports, and I can turn the USB ports. The only ones that's not independently controllable is USB ports. But anyway, that came from Amazon, and I knew it was coming because I got the tracking, and they sent me the tracking. And tracking said it was delivered. And I'm like, what in the world? It wasn't on my porch. I couldn't find it. So the next day when it was light out, I went back outside. It was there. They actually put it down by my garbage can. And I'm like, what the hell?
They didn't want to bring it up your driveway?
No. My garbage can's right next to my door, practically. I mean, it's down in front of the garage, but it's right by the, really, I mean, it's, you had to actually probably go farther to put it down there than you would have to put it on my front porch. So I don't know why I went down there, but I went down there, found it, and I love it. Now I want to buy like another one, another couple of those things. It's not in stock anymore. I'm like, dang on it. I hate it when you get something you really like it, like our beloved Jide, and either people drop support for it or it you can't buy another one. Not even if you wanted to. But we never really had a problem with the Porch Pirates. I mean, I felt like I said thought we did, but I don't think we really have. And where moving to? I hope not, because I think our house will be probably one of the first ones in there.
Well, right now, there's always somebody home, so it's not too much of a concern for us.
This
the
is
only
true,
issue
too.
We've recently had was the in-laws sent right. me a birthday present, and it was supposed to be on ice because it was chocolate-covered coffee beans, because I like chocolate-covered coffee beans. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, it was. It was on ice, and the postal guy never rang the doorbell.
Wow.
And this is Texas. And put it in the sun. Like, he easily could have put it in the shade.
So he had a lump of chocolate with coffee beans all through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a couple of times I'll have packages that need to be signed for, and they won't ring the bell. They will leave the yellow tag and turn around and get back in their vehicle and go away.
Huh. Well, that's like one time now. I very rarely will have a problem with my mail people. But one time I was running low on my Harry's Shave stuff. Okay. So I was watching like a hawk because I wanted to make sure I grabbed it off the porch and got it inside. I think it was getting ready to rain or was raining that day or something like that. So, and I can hear the mail truck from my office. So, guy drives by, I hear him. No doorbell ring. No knock. No nothing. I'm like, what the heck? So, I fire up the web browser and the tracking says it's still out for delivery. So I go ahead and throw a pair of shorts and a shirt on and some flip-flops, run down the mail truck and said, hey, did you have a package for me over 280? He's like, I don't think so. And let me, oh, there it is. I'm sorry. He still had it in his truck. I'm like, you dork. How do you do that? You have one job. I guess he was having a bad day. I don't know. I've had that happen a couple times where it says it's out for delivery and then, you know, I never get it. And I look and they're like, oh, well, we'll bring it tomorrow. I'm like, okay, great. It's kind of one reason why I'm not a huge fan of getting your prescriptions mailed. You know what I mean? I do it, though, because that's the only way they'll let me do it nowadays. For my maintenance drugs,
now
which is everything.
Not a good time to have your drugs mailed to you.
No. But I'm still seeing certain things that are just weirdly out of stock now. Like my wife likes, she likes diet cream soda. All right, because she's diabetic, you know, but she has to have a diet. And we look for the A&W has one that she likes, and the local grocery store by the name of Meyer makes it too. And in both cases, almost every time I go, the cans are out. And my Dr. Pepper, the only thing I've been able to find for over a month has been the 16-ounce bottles, which I'm okay with, you know. But it's just weird things that are just out of stock like that. You know, it's not anything. It's not like any one product category. Like, so like you go in the store and there'll be plenty of Diet Pepsi and plenty of regular Pepsi, but Diet Dr. Pepper in a can hasn't been around for a couple months. And there's weird chunks of it's not whole categories like it was with toilet paper. And occasionally I can find the disinfecting wipes still. And loads of Halloween candy, which I'm not even sure if they're going to have trick-or-treat this year. I'm betting they probably won't, but we'll find out. I'm
betting people will go out anyway.
Oh, I know they will. I know they will. I bet you our church will probably still do trunk-or-treat. We're doing, actually, I don't know if I'm going to go or not, but they're having a car show slash fish fry at the church on this weekend. Car show's probably pretty safe.
I was thinking of doing like a hood, and a monk's hood, and one of those plague masks, getting like a deer cart with like one of those CPR dummies lying in the back and getting a bell, and walking up and down the street ringing the bell saying, "Bring out your dad!" I mean, you gotta go with the plague theme, you know?
Yeah. What did they try the other day? I was kind of looking for something new to eat when I went to the grocery store, and I found Ortega makes taco pizza kits. They were pretty good, believe it or not. It was the crust was like a cornmeal crust, so it wasn't like a standard like a bubble style of crust. But you just make up the taco meat, slap that on there, and put some cheese on it. And then you can put, like I got some pico de gallo and some taco sauce to put on it. It came out pretty dang decent. I've been cooking more. I've been trying to eat up some of the, like, I had a partial bag of frozen pre-cooked meatballs that I got at Sam's Club, like, a couple months ago. I just ate those the other day. Trying to cook more, but because I know when we get closer to move time, I'm going to start packing more of the kitchen up so that it's packed and ready to go once I get volunteers to come help me move. Yeah, it priced out like somebody actually moving the house for us. It was going to be like $1,400. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. U-Haul truck's like $60. But don't go to Taco Bell for your Mexican pizzas anymore. No more pizzas.
They hardly have anything on the menu anymore. Menu's basically gone.
Well, it's like all the same crap, just in different shapes. And just when we're getting ready to move, we're getting a Chipotle. Less than a mile from this house. They're okay, but they're almost too big. I can't, you know, I can eat one, a whole Chipotle burrito. The problem is I shouldn't eat a whole Chipotle burrito. Dan's quiet.
Oh, sorry. I was listening to your burrito.
It's all right.
I didn't want to interrupt.
It's all right.
Because I know.
I think I might get me a green egg when we move. You like yours, right?
I don't have a green egg. I have a char griller.
Well, it's similar, though, right?
It is. So green eggs are ceramic and they're like $800. The char griller is
right
steel and it's like $200. So what I would say about it, I believe I talked about this on the show before, it works really good, but you have to be very careful with moisture because moisture will rust the inside of it out. And I had mine the first year I had it, towards the end there, the bottom started rusting out and it was covered under warranty. They replaced it, but so now I'm going on 3 years on this thing, but with a replacement after the first year. And I've been extremely careful to keep it clean and keep it oiled, as well as make sure that it doesn't, you know, the elements.
Right.
I found that the covers that you get for them, they work all right, but they only last like 2 or 3 seasons.
Right.
So they get too brittle and fall apart. I usually put a trash bag over top of the egg to prevent water from getting inside. Because if the cover starts to lose its water resistance, any rain that gets down on it will seep through and start to collect in the bottom. And that's what caused mine to originally rust out or start to rust out. The other thing they recommend is if you have a garage, put it in your garage. But, you know, this thing weighs like 150 pounds. I'm not wheeling it down to the garage.
Right.
Attached to my house.
Right.
But it works. I'll tell you what, you spend a little more money, you get something that is insulated like that. And, you know, I go through maybe a third of the fuel I would on like a Brinkman. You know, those cheap $100 ones.
Right, right.
Which is, you know, you do really good stuff with those too, but you got to keep feeding them fuel and stuff. This thing, I mean, I could go for a whole day on just what I put in there, as long as I
see
the proper amount.
My brother and my dad are pretty much staunch pellet grill guys now. They love their pellet grills.
Yeah, I don't know. I have friends that have the pellet ones too, where you just set a temperature and it controls itself.
Yep.
And you know that there are times when I'm like, damn, I wish I had something like that. That would be really, that's really nice. I don't have to sit here and monitor.
Well, it depends on
much.
Well, it depends on what you're doing. Like if you're doing a long smoke, you pretty much need something like that if you're doing like a 12-hour smoke on something.
Yeah, well, if you want to do like an overnight, definitely. If you're
right.
Going to sit there, like usually I just hook up my thermometers and, you know, start it in the morning and let it go until it's finished, you know, 9, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever, as long as it takes. Now, I will do this, like, if it's getting on to like 9 or 10 hours and I'm doing like a pork butt or something, you're not...
Right.
You're really not going to get much more smoke flavor on that damn thing after 10 hours, you know. So if it still hasn't reached what I need it to get to, I'll just put it in the oven and
yep.
save on the rest of the fuel if I
have to. I'll have to check to see which ones they got. Like, see, just looking at, I wouldn't go to Home Depot to look for one, but I see like a LifeSmart dual cook 600 square inch pellet grill and griddle combo. It's like $500. It's like, I don't know. You can get crazy expensive with some of that stuff. Like, some of them are like, I do know. I'm really seriously considering not taking my gas grill just because it's so huge. I got a 6-burner gas grill, and I just don't want to move the fucker.
Yeah, and the only other downside I think with pellets is, some of those you can only buy it from the pellets only from the company
right.
that makes it, and you know, it's just nice to go out and buy a bag of hardwood and
just a lump charcoal or something.
Yeah, I get the just the hardwood charcoal and a couple of bags of whatever, you know, wood I can find, hickory, cherry, chunks of that work out good.
We finally had BLTs the other day for dinner, and that hit the spot, too. Oh,
I love a BLT. That's simple.
It is.
And I made BLTs a couple weeks ago.
Make it with you some of your sourdough, huh?
I've done that, but I'll make a baguette and put BLT on that. It's to do a BLT, right. Having the right bread and BLT on just like regular sandwich bread tastes good, but having a decent bread with some really good tomatoes and I always find mayonnaise a must on a BLT.
Oh yeah, me too.
Gotta have mayonnaise.
Me too. I need to find I want to find some purple Cherokee tomatoes. You ever heard of those?
I have. I haven't seen any around here though.
Yeah, they've been around here from time to time. Like, not at, like, your typical grocery store. Like, more like at the... There's, like, a garden center place, like, around here that actually has them, I think, sometimes. And they're fantastic, too. Oh.
Yeah, we just finished harvesting the last of the tomatoes a little bit ago. We made salsa and... I made some marinara, and I still have like a ton of processed tomatoes that I gotta make some more marinara sauce out of.
See, a Cherokee purple tomato is a Indian heirloom pre-1890 variety tomato. It's one of the few tomatoes I can probably just slice it and eat it as it is. Although putting on a sandwich is great too. That's like the thing that I hate is when people say things like, "Oh, this is a good eating apple," or "This is a good baking apple." And I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. A good eating apple should be a fantastic baking apple, as far as I'm concerned." So that's kind of like when I talk about apples, for me, my favorite is the Honeycrisp.
Oh, yeah, we love Honeycrisp. Honeycrisp.
That's my favorite.
I like Gala apples, too. I really love Gala.
They're all right. I do like a tart apple once in a while, too, like a Granny Smith or something like that.
And I find that Macintosh can be hit or miss, especially if you get like a one. Then it's like Macintosh.
My dad really likes Wine Saps. I can't stand Wine Saps.
Oh, I like Pink Ladies.
Yeah, my wife likes those too. I'm more my favorites. The Honeycrisp they're so crisp. You bite into them and there's juice that comes out of them. Oh, fantastic. I found some honey you might like to try, Dan, at the store the other day. It's called Mike's Hot Honey. It's a chili-infused honey. And it's delicious. I don't know what kind of chilies it is. It's a little warm, but it's not too hot. But it's got that sweet taste from the honey. And that hot from the chilies in it, oh, very good. I tried it like on some chicken. Oh.
Oh yeah. I was looking for it. I love fried chicken. When I make fried chicken, I love to put a little honey on that and some hot sauce. And
like, there you go. This is all you'd have to do is put this on it. You wouldn't need the hot sauce. I'd just take I had some we did some hamburgers this week, specifically Wahlburgers, because I can get their burgers here locally. And I had a couple of hamburger buns left. I just squirted some of that on it and ate it. Mm. I love honey is a really good food to just have because it lasts freaking forever. I mean, I don't think honey really has an expiration date.
Not pure honey.
No.
Pure honey basically lasts forever, but most of your store-bought honey has so much sugar in it, it's going to end up breaking down.
Yeah, well, like this hot honey might be that case.
Well, if the hot honey has pepper in it, then guess what?
Yep. A little chili in it. But,
chili's it depends, pepper.
Yep. Depends on what kind of honey you get, though, too, because you can get, like, at least locally at the grocery store, I usually can get pure honey just fine. And I've got some, actually. Got some of that in the cabinet, too. It's something I always like to keep. I like honey. I don't use it a lot, but I should. Because another thing is good, too, is if you can get honey locally, like if you have a neighbor that has it, and if you eat that, it'll help your allergies from what I've heard. I don't know how true that is. I've never experienced it myself, but
I don't think there's any actual studies done on it. Because I've heard the same thing.
Yep. I kind of agree with you on that, yeah. But buying a local honey, though, is even better because then you give money back to your own local community, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, we have a real nice local honey supplier around here. They even make, like, beard balms.
You say beer bongs?
Beard balms.
Oh, beard balms. Okay. Just like Burt's Bees. I like that. That's my favorite lip balm. Yep. I don't know what kind of fish they're going to have this weekend at church. They're probably going to go for the fish.
Cod.
Most likely. Because I don't know if there's any fishermen in our church. Like, that's one of the best things I ever, that church things I ever did was years ago. We still went to the church that we got married in, which is opposite side of town. And there's this guy, his name's Phil, and he would take he basically put up like a sign up list, and you could sign up, and he would take you out fishing on his little boat, and we'd go fishing for perch and bluegill and stuff like that. And we did that for like a month. And then at the end of that, he had a fish fry at his house for all the guys that went fishing, and we could bring our families, and we all brought something to eat. Fantastic time. I love fishing with the guy. I went a couple times actually with him, and we caught quite a bit of perch. And then he kind of split it up, and he did all the cleaning on it, and he fired up his fryer and did some, you know, standard battered it fried fish, and he also had a grill out there, and he put some like blackened seasoning on it. That was fantastic. So I like fish. It's one of my things, meats I like to eat. Probably more. I probably like to eat fish more than I like to eat beef sometimes.
That's better for you.
Yeah. Tastes good. I like to do like get a piece of salmon at the store and put that on a plank. You ever do that, Dan?
Yes.
Oh, it's delicious.
I was supposed to do that last week, and I realized I only had one plank, so I couldn't do it, so I just had to bake the salmon. Usually I get like a whole thing and smoke a salmon.
Smoke it, yeah.
Yeah, I love it on planks, too. Tuna I usually do on a salt block or tuna.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, fish is
quite expensive here.
It can be, yeah.
It's not expensive here when you live right next to the ocean, Joe. You just gotta worry about hurricane season, man.
Well, that's one of the reasons one of the few things I really miss about, you know, living in the Small Lakes region is I could go anywhere and fish, and the licenses weren't that much.
I like that, and something I ain't had in a while. I'm gonna have to looking for. I love crab cakes, man. Crab cakes are so good. And just crab in general, man. Get some Alaskan king crab. Oh. It's a lot of hard work. See, that's the thing. The only kind of crab I like to get is king crab because you have to work hard to get the meat out of there. And there's a ton of meat in a king crab leg versus a regular crab leg, you know? Or do a crawfish ball. Or I could just go over to way down yonder and get me some etouffee. Mm. Did you ever make etouffee there, Dan?
Yes, I do. I love
it. Oh, man, it's good. So good. And deep fried perch is delicious, too. Oh. They do that too. They'll do that deep fried perch Louisiana style over at way down yonder, and I just get that and some Louisiana hot sauce and put it on it. Oh. Or I also like to put, you ever put malt vinegar on your fish too?
I love malt vinegar on my chips.
Uh-huh.
Or fries, I should say, as you Americans say.
Yeah.
I love it on fries. I love it on fish. If I'm going to have fried fish, there's absolutely going to be malt vinegar involved.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's tartar sauce, there's going to be malt vinegar involved.
You put both on it.
I put malt vinegar, like when I'm roasting potatoes, I put malt vinegar on them when I roast them too.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yep. That's one thing I miss. We used to have a Long John Silver's just across. Well, basically, that's where way down yonder is now, was a Long John Silver's. And I still like them. I mean, they're not the greatest fish. You know, it's fast food fish, but man, it hits a spot every once in a while.
I haven't had Long John Silver's in forever. And
there was one over here, and it was absolutely disgusting.
It's hit or miss with Long John Silver.
They had so much fucking tasteless batter on there. If there was fish in there, right. I wouldn't have known.
You see, it just depends. What I've seen that, Pat, but I've also seen them too, where that was not the problem. Where the amount of batter was just fine. But the problem is they didn't change the fucking grease in a month. So it's like,
that gives you heartburn.
And then, of course, you get a Long John Silver's, you gotta get hash puppies, so.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. No.
If this were the 1980s, then you would have to get hush puppies.
Yeah, well, seriously. It is not as good as it used to be in general.
They made the hush puppies so small now that they don't have that nice gooey center.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the softer center, so it's all, like, hard the whole way through.
I see it. We're talking about hush puppies. Reminds me of when we had the Carolina barbecue down in Spartanburg, Dan. Oh, that'd be... If I ever got near Spartanburg, I'm going to have to stop by there again, because that place was fantastic.
I quit eating at Long John Silver's a long time ago because the quality of the hush puppies went terrible, and yes, the overbreading, where yes, it looks like you have this giant plate of food, and then it's all breading.
Got crunchies. Which is okay to have a little bit of those, but see, I remember when Long John Silver's was dark and more pirate oriented. Not
and
that
had
anymore.
Good food?
Yes, and good food, yeah.
No, I don't even know if there is a Long John Silver's around here. I thought most of them went out of business.
Have you ever heard of a place called Arthur Treacher's?
Yes, we used to have them in Columbus.
It used to be like a mall.
Yeah, the first Arthur Treacher's that I ever knew of when I was a little kid was on Union Boulevard. It was a standalone place. And when that closed down, I hadn't seen one up until I moved here, and they had one in a mall, in a food court. But, yeah, I haven't been there in forever.
That's like a friend of mine shared a picture of, like, yeah, we all have at least one of them in our neighborhood somewhere, that generic Chinese restaurant with all the pictures in front, you know? The one that's not a buffet, that's run
oh,
by...
You mean the takeout place where you go in and mm-hmm. they have the pictures up on this above the register.
Above the register, the right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, and the number and associates with the number on the menu.
Yep.
If you don't know what you're getting into, yeah.
Yeah, you say number one.
Yeah, we have... There's like one of... You can't throw a rock without hitting one of those around here.
I was gonna say, it's... Yeah, there's one right across the street. I won't even eat at that one anymore. Because, see, those can be a crapshoot. Sometimes those are really good. Sometimes those are really bad.
I'll tell you what. All the ones that I've been to down here, I have not been to one that's been bad. I've been fortunate. Like, all the ones that have been near
you
the
are fortunate.
Where I work, and the ones near my house. Now, there's some that are better than others, but they've all been really good.
Now, see, now the one thing I wished is the apartment we're moving into is just down the street from one of our malls. And that mall is friggin' depressing now. But they used to have a place called Faux-licious in the food court. I guarantee you, if that was open, I'd probably be there once a week getting some pho. Because I've had theirs, and it's pretty good.
I haven't had pho in a couple of months now. It's depressing.
It's like you need to teach yourself how to make it, huh?
Yeah, well, if you want to make it and do it right, it's a fair amount of work.
I imagine, because you got to get the fish sauce.
I left channel and disconnected.
Who disconnected?
Pat did.
There's a lot involved in making the broth if you want to do it right, and it takes a couple
yep.
of days, which I just haven't got. I should go down and get some of the beef bones and stuff like that from the next time I go to the butcher and do it. I mean, I have everything I need to do to make it. I just haven't.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see the. We'll see what's around there once we get moved over there. I mean, there is quite a bit over there, and I'm definitely going to take advantage of our 6 months that we're going to be over there. But there used to be a Pizzeria Uno, like, practically right across the street from where our apartment's going to be. But... right now, it's gone. There's a Walmart there and a Best Buy. And then the mall's down the street. But the mall is like ghost town, man. There's hardly anything in there anymore. And it was one of our bigger malls, too. Sears is gone. I think Penny's is still there, which is a good thing because I like Penny's. I usually find clothes I like there. It's getting late. It's almost 10 o'clock.
You talking about JCPenney, you said?
Yeah, JCPenney's. I love their men's department's pretty good.
Okay.
Especially since I can find fat man clothes there. Although, like I said, I was talking to some coworkers earlier today, just the stress of selling this house and work and everything pounding on, I've been losing weight. Not because I've been getting exercise, just because I probably haven't been eating that much. The stress has been turning my stomach inside out.
I bet it has. Stress yep.
The showings were probably more stressful than anything, because it's just like all of a sudden you're like, you get a text, oh, you got someone to come in and look at your house to buy your house, and you're like, fuck, I didn't wash the dishes yet. and it's just like, well, okay. But we got it. We got about, like I said, a little bit in the pre-show, we got about $1,800 worth of work we got to put in the house. But we ended up working it out where we said, fine, we'll fix these things, but we're going to increase our price by $800, and they bought it. So, but it's not too bad. Like the porch needs some repair and some drywall in the garage. Snake the drains out. We'll go put a door on in the master bedroom. Replace some outlets. A whole bunch of little piddly things. It just adds up to a lot. But.
Oy, oy, oy.
But we'll get out of here the week of October 3rd and. And I'm not sure if I like this or not, but the only internet provider I can get internet with at the apartment is AT&T. We'll have to see how that works. I did see it is possible to get a gigabit down, and I'm hoping that they have that at the apartment. That would be fantastic. And cheaper than Spectrum, too.
What's that? The house then?
That's a good question. I think I pretty much have a choice of whoever I want to use down there. I think. So I think like cable is probably what I would go with. I think. Just because I know what the best, you know, but we'll see. You know, maybe I might stick with AT&T. I don't know. I didn't really want to switch now.
Oh, you know what I never said about this laptop here, which I should have way back in the beginning of the show. It is a 27 gig hard drive, so it's probably somewhere between 27 and 30 gigs.
32 gig, probably.
There's the boots, EFI boot sector on here, which I'm not using, and then. SUSE has allocated 27 gigs to it, and the whole install that I have so far is 4.8 gigs, so there's 20 gigs available. It's using like 20% of that space for just the base install and everything that got installed with it. And there's stuff on here that I'll probably never use, like there's a full office suite on here, LibreOffice, everything on there. And then, of course, it came with Firefox Thunderbird, bunch of applications there. GIMP is installed by default. So there's a bunch of stuff on here. Again, stuff I will probably never use, like the LibreOffice stuff on this. It only has 2 gigs of memory. I'm not sure if I can increase that. I should have doubled.
No, you can't. Everything is soldered on.
Well, there we go. I can't increase it. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry it hurts your feelings. The only way to actually increase the internal storage is by putting large SD cards in.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with this other than use it off and on. I don't know. It's just nice to have. It tickled my fancy.
Now, I might think about building a smart mirror that I'm going to hang up in my my home office when we get moved. It's basically a pie, a piece of that one-way glass, and then you put the screen behind that, and then you can have like weather display on it and stuff like that. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that or not.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yep. It would look like just glowing text on the mirror, so you can still see yourself in it, but you would see like the weather and the time and stuff like that. I think it would look cool hanging in my office. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just kind of muddling. I mean, I got my space there is at the house is going to be 19 by 11 foot, which is much bigger than what I have here. And I'm glad for that. At first, I wasn't going to do that. At first, I was just going to convert. One option they had was the dining area. You could make that an office. They'd actually wall it off for you. It was like for $700 extra or something like that. But then I figured out the it wouldn't be any bigger than what I have here. And I'm like, yeah, no. I need more space. I don't have enough space here. Of course, where you're at, Dan, you have the entire basement except for where the laundry stuff is.
Oh, shoot, I was muted. You were talking Oops. About lamenting the Jide again earlier.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, so my daughter's birthday is coming up, and she wants a new phone. And I'm like, damn, you know, I haven't had a new phone in like 3 or 4 years now.
No, you're going to get one.
No. And I was like, and she's had like a new phone like every year. Like she's had 2 or 3 in the time that I've had this one phone.
Don't tell me she wants a Surface Duo.
No, she wants an iPhone, another iPhone.
That's even worse.
And I'm like, I don't even know if I want a new phone, you know, because my eyes are getting terrible.
Old as fuck.
For reading on if I have my contacts in and they're the kind of contacts that they're supposed to adjust for reading close up, it's not like I can read Kindle books, but reading comic books is getting more difficult on there. Then I'm like,
next phone you get has to have a big screen.
Yeah, then I might as well get a tablet. And then I'm like, well, we just bought my daughter a tablet for finishing up school virtually last year. Now this year they have the Chromebooks. I'm like, I should just take her tablet. It's not used to read comic books on. And I'm like, but I still got the Jide, even though it's got a little bit of a cracked screen.
And as long as you're at the house and have Wi-Fi, you can use whatever tablet you want to as a phone using Google Voice.
I could do that. And then, like, I was messing around with my daughter's Chromebook that they have for school. It's a Lenovo Chromebook. It's really nice.
Right.
And it has a touch screen on it. And I didn't know it had a touch screen on it until I was grabbing it to move it around, and it kept losing whatever was on the screen. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, and then
Right. And
I was working with her on something, and she would, you know, grab it to turn it towards her, and then it would change, and then, oh, come to find out, it's got a touch screen on it. And that's why we keep losing everything. But,
yep.
You know, for how nice it is, I don't know if I would want a touchscreen laptop.
Well, I'd be remiss in missing that Android 11 got real today. Actually, not today, yesterday. So if you have a Pixel device, it's pushing out even to the Pixel 2.
Jeez. What version of Android am I on?
Probably 8 is my guess.
No, 7.
Worse than I thought.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. One day, we'll see.
Well, in my Hybrix is on Android 5. So that's what Remix 2 was based on. And I think they I know the statue, they actually unveiled the statue virtually this year. And it's not, I think the dessert names are gone and they're not technically naming them desserts. Although I think the code name of Android 11 is Red Velvet Cake, I think. Not that it really matters, but, you know. It was just fun in a day, you know. I just remember how excited I was when we got Android Donut and Kit Kat, which was version 4.
Android Donut.
It's almost, I mean, the releases now are almost a non-issue anymore. It's like, is there new stuff in Android 11 that's cool? Yep.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
But,
well, have a good one, Joe.
Yep, let's wrap her up.
All right, I'm going to play this out, and then I got to go downstairs and stop the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm outside. All right, everybody, thank you. Good luck this week, Joel, in your house stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you in 7 days. Here are your promos.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Your daughter Paige started a band, didn't she? Mm-hmm.
Well, are you looking at her YouTube videos? Was I muted?
You were.
I was going to say, I don't know if she started a band. I know she's been doing, like, singing in videos. But...
No, I got an invite to like her page. Something about Washko band, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I liked it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She certainly changed from when she was in high school. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man.
What are you eating?
That's not good.
I don't know if I'll have more room at the apartment or not. I might.
More room to do what?
Well, we got 3-bedroom, and the bedrooms all look a little bit bigger than what we have here, maybe. So it could be. I don't know. I have to store my washer and dryer, though, because the apartment has one.
But your house doesn't, right?
Correct. Yep. And my...
I don't remember if I told you all or not, but the in-laws stopped by the other day because one of them got caught by a scammer.
And
they actually went through the whole process of, you know, installing TeamSpeak and giving them access to the bank account and lost some money.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep. And they stopped by to have me fix their computer.
It's like, means reinstall really Windows.
Save all the data. Yeah, that's what I told them. We really need you to save all the data. Oh, okay.
Well, that's when you boot up a Linux live CD. Do that, but then before you put it back on, you scan the thing with ClamAV or something.
Well, in the end, because we were also short on the amount of time they were allowed to, you know, stick around, I think I just did a reset and got rid of everything except for files. Believe me, I wanted to do a full wipe, but they were quite adamant that I not.
And never have I been more glad that my son is out of school than I have been this year from the horror stories I've heard from friends on Facebook and stuff about what it's been like getting their kids working.
Pizza, pizza.
It's driving my wife nuts because I work during those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my eldest, if she doesn't get her act together, probably isn't going to graduate.
Hmm. Your kids are using Chromebooks, I assume, yes?
The youngest is using a Chromebook. I don't think the other two are using Chromebooks. Oh, they are? Okay, they are using Chromebooks.
His is older, though.
Okay, his is older.
Are they doing all remote?
Yep. Well, my kids are. The school is allowing for some in school. I think it's 50%. Anybody who wants to can go back, but my kids are not.
Now, Columbus State, they went online for the fall completely. Ohio State is having some people online, but now, see, they are suspending people who participate in off-campus parties. Don't ask me how
they had the party stop all running around, reporting everybody.
Well, see, and that's the thing I don't get. I mean, okay. I get why.
Okay, but you gotta think that these are college students, and if they go to a party, they're posting it on Facebook or something similar.
Well, yes, and I think that's how a lot of them are getting caught. But the whole thing is I don't see how the school thinks they have a right to do that, you know. But besides the point, you know, I mean, I get what they're trying to do.
Well, they could be like Australia, where they arrest, like, pregnant women, you know, for just being outside.
Right. And now, there was a story, like, either today or yesterday, they're saying, well, they're not sure if they're gonna let kids go home for Thanksgiving because of COVID. And I'm like, come on.
They're gonna put up a chain link fence around the campus.
Yeah.
Armed guards and machine gun towers.
I mean, it in Ohio, I have to look. I haven't looked at the rates, but they've been minuscule as of late. Last I looked.
Man. Fucking bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit. Okay.
It's really not what happens like when you let
people from all over the country go out and come back to a place. Look what happened in Sturgis. Look what's happened in James Madison. It's happening all over. They sign an agreement at the start of classes anyway of a code of conduct, and they have penalties listed in there. So that's what happens. Now, if you want to have in-person school, there's a certain level of responsibility.
Sure,
that you have
I agree.
To take. If you can't take that responsibility, then you can't have in-person school.
Numbers are also being reported less, and they're being reported inaccurately as well.
Yes.
The CDC is now under Trump control, and so these numbers, the proper numbers, are not going out.
Yep, and there's been many, like, heck, a governor, he had one test one day, and he was positive, and the very next day he had another test, and he was negative, right?
There are some tests that are more likely to come back as a false positive than they are a false negative. Yes. But that's why you have multiple tests after you come up positive the first time.
Right. And even though he was positive, he never had symptoms either.
I mean, it's common sense shit. I'm outside. Yeah. I don't wear a fucking mask. It's ridiculous. Now, if I go to the store, I'll put a mask on. I've been going to church for a month, almost 2 months now. We wear masks, and no one's gotten sick as far as I know.
I wear a mask up until, I get to my seat. And then I will take it off when I'm sitting in my seat because we have plenty of space around each other. We kind of enforce that a bit. Plus, 9 times out of 10, I've been in the booth anyway. So in there, I usually take it off too because I'm usually the only person in there. The only person.
Yeah, if you're by your lonesome, then why wear one?
Yep. So, I mean, it's... You know, it's 90% of this is complete common sense, and unfortunately, a lot of that has left the building in some places.
Now, the restaurant thing is kind of retarded. It's kind of going through the motions. It's like you have to wear the mask when you're in, but then when you're sitting at your table, you can take the mask off.
Wear the mask for 5 feet until you get to your table.
The virus knows not to attack you when you're eating. It's intelligent.
Well, just like the when you're on the plane, that is that people are supposed to be 6 feet away from you while you're eating. And the other thing with that is, yeah, you're taking a risk by going out and eating, but you can't stay locked up forever.
Right.
True.
And we need to, and I think we as a country, we as a world need to face that this is endemic. It's not just a pandemic. It's endemic. It's going to be here for a while.
Well, they're talking about the vaccines that are being worked on that, you know, they're trying to fast track, but, you know, crap happens in the medical field. But they're talking about the vaccines hopefully lasting a year, so it'd be just like getting a flu shot.
Pretty much.
God, they're making another remake of Dune? What is that, like the fourth one?
Yuck.
Does it matter? They're all garbage.
Yeah.
Would you say Doom or Dune?
Dune. D-U-N-E?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even... Well, I tried to read the book, and I... No.
You know, the first one...
I read, like, four of them.
Yeah, I read the first one, and then I made it partway through, I think, the second one. Before, I was like, why am I torturing myself like this?
Right.
Listen, you're talking to someone who read Lord of the Rings when I was like 12.
You know, I read Lord of the Rings. That was also torture.
Right.
I mean, the first book's all right, once again, but then you get into the second book, and that thing could cure insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, read the Silmarillion.
I didn't read that one. No, I gave up after the third book.
Come on, you're trying to tell me you don't want to learn how to speak Elvish?
I really liked The Hobbit as a book. A really, really good book. And then there was the trilogy. Granted, I usually read the Wheel of Time series like at least once a year.
Mm-hmm. But did you watch the new Bill and Ted movie?
I have not watched the new Bill and Ted movie yet.
I'm not going to pay $25 for it.
Yeah, it's not something that I'm going to go out of my way to see. I mean,
Maybe when the price comes down, yeah, but not for $25.
Yeah, I really doubt it's going to be all that interesting.
Especially since they changed the babies at the end of Bogus Journey were definitely, they said Little Bill and Little Ted. Okay, those are males. But in the new movie, they are girls. Not that I have a problem with that. I mean, they can do what they want. It's their thing. But and that doesn't mean it's not going to make a good movie. But yeah.
I don't know. I'm not overly interested. I'll catch it sooner or later.
Right. I just wish there would be, something like, I don't know, original. Instead of remake after remake after remake,
Well, you've also got, what, Matrix 4 coming up?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Go ahead.
I want to say, I have to look and see if the new Battlestar Galactica came out in Peacock yet.
Well, Doom Patrol is new. I don't think Doom Patrol's been on television as its own before last year.
I have to look. It's crazy.
They've cameoed on things, but yeah.
Wait a minute, this question. Is Peacock really available for free? I'm like, I didn't think so.
I think it is available for free. But the first, show is the only thing you get for free. Then you have to subscribe. Like, the first episode.
Right. Yeah, you have to go to Peacock Premium, which is $5 a month. Yeah, I'll pass.
We should start the show.
We should.
Wait, what's on Peacock that was...
They're supposed to be a new Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Psych 2. And I didn't know this until I saw it blowing up all over the place, but Cobra Kai is on Netflix now and actually moved to Netflix. YouTube's getting out of the scripted content.
So they're
going to
do the third season on Netflix?
Yep. Totally fine with it. Not going to change what I do with YouTube at all. Because I do pay for YouTube Premium.
Well, what's on YouTube Premium now?
YouTube stuff. Basically, YouTube without ads.
Is it still the same price?
Yeah, I think so. You don't have to get YouTube TV at the same time. You can just get the YouTube Premium. It's like $10 a month. It's not expensive.
All right, let's kick this pig off. This
is
874.